Good to see each of you this morning. For those of you who are visiting with us, we're especially glad to have you. Hope that you'll stay around long enough for us to greet you personally and that you'll come back if you have the opportunity to do that. This evening, Brother Luke Stevens is going to be here to speak to you. I mentioned last Sunday that several churches are wanting to hear the report on Cuba, a trip that I recently made with my son-in-law, Victor, and with Carrie Keenan. And last Sunday evening, we did the report over at Plant City Congregation. They helped in my support, and they also helped in Victor's support some. And then tonight, we're going to be at the Temple Terrace Congregation, where they both worship. And they helped in a lot of different ways in the trip that was made. So, Brother Stevens will do a good job. He's been with you before. I know you'll enjoy hearing him. And Lord willing, we'll see some of you on Wednesday evening. Our brother has read for us this morning the text that I'd like to emphasize this morning from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. We're high up on a mountain, completely separated from the crowds that usually follow Jesus everywhere. He took the three apostles, Peter, James, and John, to be transfigured before them. And there as Moses and Elijah appeared before them also, and while the face of Jesus, the scripture says, shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light, God spoke. There were not many times that God spoke directly to man since the days of the Old Testament prophets. And yet upon this occasion, he chose to impress upon these apostles a great lesson concerning the authority of Jesus Christ. And so from the cloud above, not only did the voice of Jehovah give a perfect declaration of the divinity of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son," but God's voice also issued the heavenly proclamation that the word of the Son is now supreme and final. After Peter's proposal to build three tabernacles, God's brief answer to him was as though he had said, "Yes, here is Moses, and here is Elijah, but this is my Son." And therefore, when he said, "Hear him," as our version that was read from this morning says, "Listen to him," God suggested, I think, five things that I want to consider with you this morning. And the first is that we are to hear Jesus only. We're to hear Jesus only. In the case of Peter and James and John, this became a significant lesson. Because here had appeared Moses, the lawgiver, and I think representative of the law. And here was Elijah, the prophet, and I think representative of all the prophets. And now in the presence of these two, God pointed out Jesus and declared that he was his Son and that he now was the one who was to be heard. The great lawgiver Moses, as well as the great prophets, no longer should be regarded as authority in religion. The law of Moses had been supreme for the Jews for centuries. And the word of the prophets had brought God's continuing direction to them. But now the time had come to recognize the preeminence of God's only begotten Son over all of the ones who previously had brought the law of the Lord to the people. And I believe this is exactly why we read over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, this statement in Scripture. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. God has spoken to us in his Son. And I believe it is also why we read back in our text in Matthew 17 at verse 8, why we read there that following this declaration made from heaven, they saw no one but Jesus only. The very withdrawal of Moses and Elijah was now suggestive of the fact that a greater than both of these remained, Jesus alone. And so in this very impressive way, God declared the approaching end of the law and the prophets and gave emphasis to the beginning of the authority of Jesus Christ on the earth. Now, God was not in any way declaring that the Old Testament is bad. In fact, to the contrary, it is good. It teaches us many lessons that we need to learn and can learn. Lessons about God, lessons about man, lessons about the earth, lessons about the Christ who was then to come, and other truths that always have been and always will be true. But when God said, "Hear him," he simply taught that only the law of Christ was to direct our lives, and that no Old Testament law could be made binding upon men today. As we studied in our class this morning, not the Sabbath law. The Sabbath law is not binding on men today. Not instrumental music. Yes, they use instrumental music in the Old Testament. That's not the law that we're under. Not circumcision. Not anything that was taught in the law is in and of itself binding upon us today. And I think there are some other logical conclusions that we must reach with regard to that. Because in the same manner, this declaration of Jehovah teaches us to refuse any law that is newer than the New Testament. Anything older than the New Testament, we reject. Anything newer than the New Testament, we reject. The law of the Pope is not what we are supposed to hear today. The law of Martin Luther, the law of John Calvin, or of any man or group of men must be rejected. Hear him. Hear Jesus only. Some men say today in the religious world that sprinkling is just as good as immersion when it comes to baptism. Others say that communion once a month or once a year is just as good as doing it once a week. What's wrong with those teachings? Well, the answer is that both of them have failed to hear Jesus. They fail to notice what he teaches in his word. And those are only examples. We could give many other examples in that regard. Some people today obey the priest. Some people today listen to the preacher. And if what the preacher says, that's what I believe. Some people follow an editor of a particular paper or magazine. No, we're to hear Jesus. Many times I think the people who do those things that we just mentioned do it unintentionally. They're not guilty of rebellion. But rather they're sincere. And yet their sincerity fails to properly discern what must be the source of their doctrine, the source of their teaching. It must be Jesus alone. Hear Jesus only. Brethren, every one of us needs to concern ourselves with the serious task of weeding out every source of authority in religion except the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then I believe when God said, "Hear him," he meant that we're to hear Jesus completely, without reservation. God's decree here demands that we hear every command that Jesus gives to us. We can't pick and choose. We can't separate the Lord's commandments. We must never say that some of the things that Jesus taught are important, but some of them are not important. We must not do that. We dare not even let the thought enter our mind that some of the directions for us in the gospel are essential and others are of little consequence. That simply is not so. Sometimes people ask, well, which is more important, repentance or baptism? Or which is more important, prayer or communion? But that's an attitude that springs from erroneous thinking. And that's a desire to put Christ's directives or commands into different categories. And I don't believe we can do that. And in fact, Jesus condemned people like this. Look over at Matthew chapter 23 and at verse 23. Jesus said this, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Here Jesus rebuked those who rigidly insisted upon the tithe of the smallest matters, and yet at the same time they failed to do good. And those were commands that they needed to obey. Now Jesus wasn't placing the doing of good above the other commands, but he corrected the people who obeyed in one thing and failed in another. We must be sure that we don't do that. And so James teaches us over in James chapter 2, verse 8 through verse 11, that we need to give attention to the things that God says, to the things that God teaches us, and not neglect some of the things that he says to us. So we have this statement over in James chapter 2 at verse 8 through about verse 11. It says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So we need to be careful about hearing everything that Jesus teaches. Today, many people hear Jesus when he says to believe or to be born again, and then they fail to hear what the children of God must do after they have done that. We've got to give attention to all that he said. I'll give you an example or two of that. Some Christians have learned well, I think, the importance of weekly communion, and they would not willingly be absent from the Lord's Day assembly, and yet they failed to grasp the significance, maybe, of their responsibility to mankind, of giving to the poor and the needy, helping the unfortunate, doing good to those, to all men, as we read over in Galatians 6 and verse 10. Teaching the lost. We have an obligation to try to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brethren, we need to be impressed with the fact, I think, that we can die with a communion cup in our hand and the fruit of the vine in our mouth and still go to eternal destruction because we have failed to do something else that God has taught us to do. Just because you assemble on the Lord's Day and partake of the Lord's Supper doesn't mean that you're going to be saved. Now, on the other hand, if we spend all of our life doing much good and helping many people and in every way show a heart of compassion and love for all of humanity and then forsake the assembling of ourselves together or fail to remember Christ in taking the Lord's Supper, we still will not be saved. Why? Because we must hear Jesus completely. We must seek to do all that he has asked us to do. Because when God said, hear him, he meant completely, all of his word, not just part of it. And may I suggest to you this, if we hear Jesus, we will not only do his commandments, but we will be limited by his commandments. That's an important principle to understand. That is, we will do what he says, no more and no less. If a mother sends her child to the store with $10 and says to buy a quart of milk and two oranges, and the child returns, that child truly did not hear his mother if he buys a quart of milk and two oranges and one candy bar and one ice cream cone. That child did not properly hear the instructions. And likewise, proper recognition of the authority of Christ will cause us to do all that he orders and nothing else than what he ordered, not go beyond that. Paul taught this principle in writing to the Corinthians. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and at verse 6, many of you are familiar with the teaching of that verse. He says, now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, not to go beyond what is written, some versions translate. And so that must be our attitude. All right, if that's our attitude, Since Acts 20 and verse 7, as we studied again in the class this morning, since Acts 20 and verse 7 is the only scripture that deals with the day and the frequency of taking the Lord's Supper, then this verse positively defines the Lord's language when he said, as often as you do it. Some people go to that passage and say, well, he just said, as often as you do it. Yes, but we have that defined for us in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. And therefore, we know that it is right to take communion on the Lord's Day. And we know that by the authority of Jesus Christ, we can only take it on the Lord's Day. What about some of these churches that offer communion on Saturday or on Friday? I've heard of some of that going on. I know the instructions of Jesus, if we're going to hear Jesus completely, we're going to be limited by what he says. And that eliminates doing it on any other day, and it eliminates doing it less frequently than doing it every first day of the week. So there is the instruction given for us in Scripture. Give you another example. The New Testament very plainly authorizes the church from its treasury to help needy saints. We have that in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. We have it in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Those passages are dealing with the benevolent work of the church. And if the church is faithful, it will do this and limit its benevolent work to just this: faithful and needy saints. Now, that doesn't mean that Christians are going to allow people of the world to suffer without their help, but their responsibility is covered by more broad, comprehensive passages such as Galatians 6 and verse 10 or Titus 3 and verse 1. We don't have the right to go out and help everybody in the world out of the treasury of the church. We're limited to what we find in Scripture. Needy saints were those who were helped. These passages, those other passages, require that each Christian help all people as he has opportunity. But nevertheless, these broad commands addressed to Christians cannot be applied to the church and the work that the church is to undertake from its treasury. We need to hear what Jesus says, both to the church collectively and to the individual. The church, as well as the individual, must hear Jesus and must likewise be aware of limitations that are imposed on what the church does with its funds by divine authority. All right, but I believe when we read in the scripture, hear him, it implies that everybody must hear him. Hear Jesus, everybody. Who needs to hear Jesus? Everybody needs to hear Jesus. It wasn't just Peter and James and John that were to hear the Son, but everyone who wants to do God's will must hear Jesus Christ. Listen to our Savior in Matthew the 7th chapter at verse 21. Again, a verse that's familiar to most, if not all of you, I would suspect. But Jesus says over there in Matthew 7 and verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And then he gave this parable down at verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Everyone must hear what Jesus says and do his will. Jesus said in John the 14th chapter, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Everyone must go to the Father through Jesus Christ. Over in 2 John, verse 9, we're studying the epistles of John in our Wednesday evening class. Be glad to have you come to that. And in 2 John verse 9, the scripture says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. We must hear what Jesus says. Everybody must hear that. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, there is an invitation that is issued. To whom is this invitation issued? It says this, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Listen to that. The invitation of Christ is to whoever will come to him. And there's equal significance to the fact that the law of Christ must be obeyed by all men everywhere. There are no exclusive people with God today. There's not an exclusive race. There's not an exclusive of people of wealth. It doesn't have to be people of culture or people of position. None of those alter the word of the Lord. Every sinner must hear and obey the same gospel, and every Christian must follow the same directing power that we're given in Scripture. That power that we're given in Scripture is the Scripture itself. We must follow what God teaches in His Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, we have this statement: all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so we must hear and obey the gospel and follow the Scripture. When Peter in Acts chapter 10 was at the house of Cornelius, he said this to the people to whom he was preaching on that day. Verse 34 and 35, it says this, Acts 10, verse 34 and 35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Who needs to hear Jesus? Everybody needs to hear Jesus. Now, on the other hand, he is going to punish all of the wicked. It's not just going to be the worst, because Jesus is going to take vengeance on those that know not God and that do not obey the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 9. And maybe at this point it might be good to inject a little sidebar into the lesson, and that is this. Since all the wicked are going to be punished, it's going to be a terrible and shameful thing that many are going to perish because Christians have failed to take the gospel to them. Let's not lose sight of our purpose, lose sight of our mission. Paul said, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Romans 10 and verse 10. He said again, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. In another passage. Brethren, we too are debtors to teach the pure gospel, the pure truth of the gospel to all men everywhere, because everybody needs to hear him. Next, I would suggest to you that we are to hear him forever. We need to hear Jesus and from now until the time ends. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, we find the enduring nature of God's message to man. Jesus was the one who was speaking of it in Matthew 24. And at verse 35, he said this, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. How long do we need to hear Jesus? We need to hear Jesus from now on, because his word is the thing that is going to judge us. Peter said it this way over in 1 Peter chapter 2, or chapter 1, verse 23 through verse 25. He said, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass withers and its flower falls away. Listen, but the word of the Lord endures forever. How long must we listen to Jesus? Forever. As long as time exists, we need to hear him. As long as man has been in existence, he has been required to hear and obey God, and it will always be this way. It's a sad thing sometimes to see men and women quit obeying God in old age after living most of their life obeying him. I've seen it. You've probably seen it if you've been in the church very long. And yet there is no retirement time from obeying God's word. There's no time when we quit. We keep on obeying him, doing what he says that we must do. And so we read over in Matthew chapter 10 at verse 22, "He who endures to the end, the same will be saved." We must keep on hearing Jesus and obeying him. And likewise, it is sad to see the young generation forget God instead of following sometimes the example of obedient parents. But you see, each generation must hear Jesus. Each generation. Ezekiel 18, the principle that's there. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, nor the father the iniquity of the son. The opposite of that, of course, is true. We cannot gain righteousness because our parents are righteous. We need to gain it for ourselves. And it doesn't benefit you one thing as far as your salvation is concerned. If your mother is a Christian, if your father is a Christian, you must make that decision for yourself. Everybody must hear Jesus. And so we're told to remember our Creator in the days of our youth, and we need to keep right on remembering always. The people of this century must hear the same gospel and obey the same word that has directed God's people since the day of the apostles. Every promise that God has for anyone today may be received by all people everywhere. And likewise, every command that God gives to us must be obeyed by all people everywhere as long as time shall last. Hear him. It means that we must hear him forever. And then finally this morning, I believe to hear Jesus means that we hear him today. We hear him while there's time and opportunity. We hear Jesus immediately when we recognize what he has said, what he has taught, and what we must do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, Paul made that same point when he said this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, he quotes from the book of Isaiah. And he says, "For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you." And then he makes his application. "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." We need to hear Jesus today. How terrible it will be for so many who will be lost in eternity, not because of rebellion, not because of wickedness, but because of neglect. Because of postponement. My friend, as your soul is at the death of your body, so will that soul be in the judgment. And furthermore, Jesus may come at any moment. He could come right now, and as far as I can tell, not leave any scripture unfulfilled. And yet, even if he does not come for thousands of years, and he can wait that long and still violate no passage of scripture, you and I have at most just a little while to get ready to meet God. We cannot hear Jesus when we're in the grave. And even our spirit waiting in that place of torment that we read about in Luke 16, verse 23, cannot respond to the word of the Lord. And furthermore, Peter says in 2 Peter 3 and at verse 10, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." That is, it will come without warning or announcement. And our death may come to us in the very same way. The only safe thing to do is to become obedient today. And so the sinner must believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and repent of one's sin and then be baptized in order to be born again, freed from sin. And then the Christian must put away sinful living, Romans 6 verses 1 and 2, do good, Ephesians 2, verse 10. Worship steadfastly, Acts 2, verse 42. Serve the Lord fruitfully, John 15, verses 1 through 8. And my friend, the man who has not done this has failed to hear Jesus. And whatever we fail to do and be today may well be our eternal failure. Hear Jesus today. Is there one in the audience this morning who needs to hear Jesus today? To believe in him as God's Son and repent of your sins and confess him as Lord and then be baptized for the remission of your sins and know that you're in a right relationship with God. If there's one here, we would delight to assist you in that obedience this morning. Would you come together while we stand and sing this song?
Zion's call sweetly rings over land.